This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
HPC Conference Catch-Up.
And Intel Scales Up.
Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for April 8th, 2011. Available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Good morning, Michael. We had some fun with our news last week.
Yeah, if people didn't catch our last show, we sort of did an April Fool's show. I think most people got it eventually. We kind of had a couple ridiculous stories, but that was a lot of fun.
We planned this going back a couple months ago when we realized April 1st was going to be on a Friday. Couldn't resist ourselves, and I hope no one minded taking a week off from the real news to indulge some of our fantasies for the week.
Yeah, we weren't the only ones. I saw a story that NetApp bought EMC. I think there were a few other phony stories out there. So, yeah, you got to kind of be at the top of your game on April 1st to kind of weed out the funny stories from the real ones.
Yeah. So I loved the feedback that we got. I loved your comment, Michael, about building a smarter and more tasteful planet. I thought that was the best line of the show. So congratulations, partner. But the upshot of that is that going into this week, we've got a little bit of catch up to do because we actually neglected to cover some real stuff that was going on that week. Namely, that you and I were both at the HPCC show in Newport, Rhode Island when we recorded that.
That's right. And right, we're both there. I think you've been there a few times. That was my first time at the conference in Newport, and that was a lot of fun for me. I got a bunch of great sessions, and you were there, and it was like all my buddies were there. It was sort of a great little get together. It was a nice size conference too.
I'll tell you what, John Miguel does such a great job with that conference. It's one of my favorites of the year. It's not a huge conference, but he draws a really high-powered group in a very intimate setting with plenty of time for side conversations, really interesting presentations and discussions, and always a highlight of my year. Moreover, I think he does a good job covering a lot of the government-specific initiatives. You know, government is a huge HPC sector, and as much as we get into the different commercial vertical segments, I think it's nice to have a show that's got a good government focus.
Yeah, exactly. It was a very strong government focus. I like to see that because sometimes, you know, we don't hear that strong a focus on that from the other conferences. The other thing that was impressive, and I didn't realize this is his 25th year doing this. That's more years than even SC has. And
yep.
He's really got, maybe it is the oldest HPC conference out there of any note. So congratulations to John Miguel and the whole team that puts that together. It's quite an event.
Yeah, and you picked up on one of the main themes that they were talking about this year. There was an awful lot of discussion about exascale and what needs to be done to get there.
Right. I think that's a common theme. We're going to see a lot of conferences. We saw a lot at SC last year. We're going to see it at ISC and SC this year, certainly. But yeah, especially because of the government focus, a lot of this is being, a lot of the exascale initiatives are being funded by the government. So I think there were at least four sessions that addressed exascale specifically and a bunch of others that talked around it. There was a whole session devoted to DARPA's UHPC program that's not a quote-unquote exascale project per se, but it certainly goes in that direction. And there was a lot of talk around UHPC. One of the things that I thought was most interesting, somebody brought up the fact that UHPC might not be funded very well over the next year or two because of all the budgetary problems the U.S. has. So there's some real questions on whether, you know, all those teams, those four teams that were picked to work on these different initiatives from different points of view will be fully funded, if they'll have to like drop some of their partners or cut back in some other way. So I think that is almost the most important extreme computing initiative the government's funding right now, and it might be just axed.
Yeah, and we actually I actually mentioned that as part of my presentation on the HPCC agenda. We haven't published our new five-year forecast yet, but are far enough into it that I felt comfortable commenting on some of the high-level themes, in particular that we expect to see a continued strong comeback on top of some strong growth already from 2009 into 2010. We're seeing over 15% growth on 2010, but going forward that growth is going to be concentrated more in industry and more outside North America as the U.S. Government and to some extent academia spending gets hampered by some of the budgetary concerns in the U.S. right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good call. And I think even to say that, I think you said you expected some modest growth, but I think that's a total wild guess at this point. I think the volatility of the political situation in the U.S. especially is such that I wouldn't be surprised if something really, you know, catastrophic happened to some of this funding. I mean, I've heard, you know, some of the DOE labs, some of their funding might not continue. They're looking to lay off people and all sorts of horrible things. But hopefully that'll pan out. I mean, right now, as we speak, the U.S. government might shut down. I mean, they're threatening, Congress is threatening, the Republicans and Democrats are threatening each other that, you know, they're not going to pass this budget in time and shut down the government for however long. So right now I'm really pessimistic about sort of what the U.S. government is going to do to fund some of these exascale things and some of the other initiatives that are going to go forward this year in high-end computing.
Well, this was actually one of the top question that I put to my analyst crossfire panel on Thursday morning of the conference. This is a real highlight for me. I got to get another expert panel. In this case, it was Don Lamb from the University of Chicago, John West from Erdc, Stephen Wheat from Intel, and Englem Go, who's the CTO of SGI and a regular speaker at HPCC. And the first question I set up for that panel was what the U.S. role in supercomputing was going to be over the next couple of years, and they had some nice insights for it. The video from that session is now on the front page of our website.
Yeah, that was a great panel. I remember the whole discussion there. And right, I think there were sort of different points of view there, and I think everybody was sort of hoping that the U.S. would sort of pull itself up by its bootstraps here and get with it, because there's a lot of angst out there that, you know, especially with China coming on so strong, some of these big systems and the money they're pouring into this, that we're gonna fall behind in this, and it'll be much harder to catch up than to sort of maintain our current lead. So I think there was a little bit of optimism, but there was quite a bit of pessimism on that panel as well.
Yep, there's also a lot of optimism talk around the missing middle topic in manufacturing. I won't go into that as in-depth in this podcast, but there's a lot of good content there as well. And Stephen Weed on my panel, of course, discussed it. There was another one of our panel questions that's up on the Intersect360.com website. So I love the HPCC conference. Got back from that, and then you went to the HPC and Financial Markets Conference, which I think we're going to talk about or try to talk about in a different program. I went off to the Open Fabrics Alliance conference that was in Monterey for a couple of days on OFED distributions, and that's going to be a big year coming up for those guys, because they really need to get over a hurdle if they're going to get OFED to be perceived beyond the high-performance computing InfiniBand market. They've done a lot of excellent work, but there was a lot of very honest talk about what needs to be done to move that forward. So I enjoyed that conference as well.
Yeah, I follow that the Open Fabrics Alliance quite a bit too, and it does seem like it's very InfiniBand oriented, and like you said, they're trying to bring in the Ethernet crowd, the RDMA Ethernet crowd, but I never can quite get a sense of how far along they are with that. The OFED software stack is maturing nicely, but bringing in, you know, this vast ecosystem of Ethernet software vendors, I think is a tough road.
Well, they made a lot of progress with it. They had a lot of Ethernet discussion over the 3-day conference and what kind of resiliency and features you're going to need in OFED to get broader non-HPC data center adoption or even moving it into high-performance business computing. So a lot of technical discussion, a lot of services discussion, and from our point of view, even looking at the fact that a lot more people are using OFED without realizing that they're using it. So Oracle, for example, talking about how they access the OFED stack in their enterprise distribution. So a lot of good insight from that show as well.
Oh, we'll certainly be following that because Open Fabrics is there are a very active alliance and they're always working on that software and trying to bring in new members and expand that ecosystem. They're very aggressive about it. So we'll be following that as it pans out in the year ahead.
We're about caught up on conferences, but that even leaves out some big news that came out this week, Michael. We got to hurry up, get through the news here. But Intel made a bit of an announcement, didn't they?
Yeah, they released, and I think this was expected, they released basically their top-end Westmere chip, their Westmere EX, which is the big chip for their multi-socketed server systems. In this case, Westmere EX got up to 10 cores. It actually comes in 6-core flavors and 8-core and then 10-core, which is the top of the line. And I think about 20 vendors automatically picked it up. They made announcements on the same day this week that Intel made the announcement that they released the chip and all the usual suspects, IBM, HP as well. But these are mostly for mission critical systems, enterprise computing, but there's a few vendors in the HPC space that picked up on the chip as well, and that's of course SGI who used the Nehalem EX in their when they released their SGI Altix UV system, and they're picked up on the Westmere EX to upgrade that system. And then Cray and Supermicro and AMAX also picked up and upgraded their platforms with that chip. So not quite as popular a chip as the dual socket ones, but a lot of people are going to these big shared memory systems. They're becoming somewhat a popular niche, and the HPC just loves the power of those chips, the cores, and the memory reach, which is much larger on those chips than it is on the dual socket version. So, interesting chip.
Well, what we've already seen in our research is that the installed base has pretty much been almost entirely washed of single cores now, and everyone's at least on dual core going into quad core. The newest systems that went out last year were primarily quad core and 6-core. Now we've got these new chips going out to 10 cores. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just going up, and of course AMD next year is going to – they've already got the 12-core chip in their current AMD Opteron. They're going to come out with the 12 and 16 core versions in their Bulldozer class Opterons coming up in Q3, in fact. So yeah, the core count's going up, and 10 core almost seems modest by today's standards. But for an Intel chip, I think that's the highest it's been, and the memory reach I think is the highest it's been on a quad socket system. They'll allow you to go to 2 terabytes of memory. Now you need pretty expensive DIMMs to do that, but 2 terabytes, that's sort of remarkable. You can kind of fit that in one big 4-socket box, and you can have like a big mini mainframe.
Well, I mean, this is another direction we've seen the adoption of these multi-core chips taking, which is that memory per core is staying relatively constant. The more cores you put onto a socket, the more memory someone wants to put onto that socket.
Right.
So the memory expansion is absolutely in line with how people want to use these multi-core chips. But it does mean that, unlike the gigahertz race when the chips just got faster, you kept putting the same amount of memory on it. Here, you've got escalating memory costs going along with the escalation in cores, memory becoming a more and more expensive component of the machine.
Well, especially on these kinds of machines, because these are, this processor is built for these big memory scale outs. And yeah, I'm assuming, you buy a few terabytes of memory and your processor is actually just a very small piece of that cost on that system. So, and I know this is the case. I think at HPCC, we heard Dr. Englund Go talk about the Altix machines and say we don't even price those until a person buys it. Basically, it's the spot. It's based on the spot pricing of memory at the time they purchase the system, and that dominates the cost. And so, yeah, I mean, memory's is a big deal for these systems. And it, you know, the processors for this particular chip are quite expensive. They're top of the line. They're near $5,000. But when you look at the memory these people are trying to put in, it's, you know, it's almost changed compared to the rest of it.
Well, that said, Intel is leapfrogging ahead here in the core race with these new West mirrors. I think they are going to see a lot of people adopting them. My absolute favorite individual comment from all of HPCC was when John Gustafson of Intel quipped that the number of people predicting an end to Moore's Law is doubling about every 18 to 24 months.
Yeah, that was a very good comment. Yeah, it does seem like that, and it's, so far, it hasn't happened yet. And
no, we keep marching right along.
And we saw Stephen Weed. I mean, he had slides there. He was going down to Intel. It's planning to go down to 8 nanometers on the process node. So that's way far into the future. So they're not giving up on Moore's Law yet, obviously.
No, we had a lot of discussion of nanometers and picojoules at HPCC.
And everybody was happy to see that because, again, you know, the exascale people are going to need that. So.
Well, are we caught up, Michael? Did we get there?
I think we're caught up. We just have to, like you said, we're going to do a little wrap-up of the HPC Wall Street Conference soon and then go on from there. It looks like the news is picking up. I'm seeing more activity once we're into the conference season. It seems like people do get sort of excited about things. We have new products coming down the pike and new initiatives. So I think things are sort of looking up in the news department for the HPC community.
Well, that's good because I heard IBM Watson's going to be starting to judge our podcast.
Oh, I hope not. Okay, well, good talking to you as always, and we'll do the same next week.
Thanks a lot, Mike. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.